Hay fever. If you're like us, you work in an office, you could be one of two people. You're either stuck there sniffling your way through the hay fever, or you're about to snap to the next person who might blow their nose a million times and start sneezing, and you think that you're getting full of germs and you're going slightly insane. But do you think there could be a cure that we don't know of yet? Something that your mother or father told you about and it's guaranteed for hay fever? 53102, or you can email live at todayfm.com. We're now speaking to Dr. David Coughlin, who's a consultant paediatrician at the National Children's Hospital in Tala. David, how are you doing?
How are you doing, Maren? Nice to talk to you.
First of all, what is hay fever? What causes it?
Well, in simple terms, it's something, I suppose, it's a seasonal phenomenon. We see it at, obviously, this time of year, so the summertime. And why is that? Well, our plants, our trees, and some of our fungi start to pollinate. So they produce their pollens, which the wind takes and carries across fields, into urban areas, into seaside areas. And then people who are, shall we say, genetically susceptible, i.e. the allergic child, the allergic adult starts to feel their eyes itch, their nose run, really unpleasant. Again, like a lot of things, some people are mildly affected, some are moderate, and unfortunately for some sufferers, they're very severely affected, requiring a lot of medication and a lot of medical input.
And David, I have to say, just knowing a mate of mine, she suffers really, really badly from it. She dreads the summer months and she is on medication, but it doesn't clear it up. She still is a sufferer all the time. Why is it that the drugs mightn't be working for some people?
Yeah, good question, Warren. There are, again, I can only present to you on the medical model, as it were. There are, you know, some people, as I said, are mildly affected, so they may get away with just simple procedures like closing windows and doors at times of high pollen counts, putting a little bit of Vaseline on their nose to sort of protect their nasal barrier. But unfortunately, that only works for a small proportion. So in terms of medication, the first line that would be familiar to most people would be antihistamines. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's useful to start naming them, because personally, I don't believe that one is necessarily much better than the other. But what I will say is there are first generation, these were your Phenergans, your Pirotens, drugs that were developed a long time ago. And why it's very useful, they were kind of sedating, and that's why some parents often used them for sort of sleep issues. So they actually used the side effect as a positive effect. But again, to somebody like a student or somebody like me, are you working? It's not acceptable. Okay, your hay fever might be okay, but you're going around like a zombie because you're sedated. So they had to develop second generation. So the newer products, the cetirizines, the levocetirizines, are non-sedating. They have a very good antihistamine effect, but they're non-sedating. So you can do a day's work, you can drive your car, you can do your junior cert, your leaving cert. So that would be the first line. And again, that would be beneficial to the majority. Someone like your friend, so that's kind of antihistamines are what are called level one or first line therapy. Then you move on to what are called level two therapies. This is where you get into therapies that often involve sprays, often nasal sprays, mm-hmm. often steroid-based. And again, that causes concern. I'm a pediatrician. Most parents don't want to have their children on steroids because I suppose there is a certainly an awareness around potential side effects. But again, if these medications are managed properly, supervised properly, you don't run into problems provided you're well advised, you're well supervised. And then there are kind of level three therapies, which again would be commonplace in the European mainland. These are what are called immunotherapies, where people put lozenges which contain, believe it or not, a small amount, say, of grass extract under their tongue in an effort for that person to develop tolerance. So it's actually a potentially a curative treatment, whereas the others I've discussed are just symptom control. This potentially will reverse the process. But again, it's not a panacea. If you look at the trials, perhaps 30% in certain groups, up to 50% will see marked improvement, but unfortunately it's not 100%.
That's quite interesting, David, because it's often thought that we do live in a yin and yang world, that if there is a problem, there will be a solution to it in the natural world, even though we seem to be destroying absolutely everything. So that's why mentioning the grass that is in this third generation thing, and people are talking an awful lot on the text line here about home remedies, and one more so than anything, a message here from Orla that says, eating unpasteurized local honey helps hay fever symptoms as it exposes the body to pollen and helps desensitize, and all Irish honey is considered local. And there are loads of people talking about honey here, David. Is that something that the medical community would believe in?
Well, I mean, I think you probably know the answer. Like, again, in the field that I'm trained in, the conferences that I attend, that wouldn't be part of the agenda that we're discussing. However, at a scientific level, you could say, yep, obviously honey, as you say, it's a natural resource. Does that induce tolerance in some people? Again, I would like to think if there was, if it was a cure for all, that there would be hard evidence, there would be trials, and we simply don't have that. So, and in the absence of that, I simply couldn't recommend that to my patient cohort.
I've seen recently the rise in things called red lights, that apparently you shine them up the nose, and this is meant to increase blood circulation and reduce inflammation and thereby help the hay fever sufferer. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, again, I've met a gentleman in Northern Ireland some time ago who offers this. As I said, my area is children. It's not certainly a therapy that I would recommend for a pediatric, i.e. a 0 to 16-year population. But again, I haven't seen the evidence. In an adult sufferer, I suppose because you're affecting, as you said, the nasal mucosa, the nasal linings, if that works, and as I said, there's no downside, but why wouldn't you offer that? But again, for the cohort of children I look after, it is not a recommended. There isn't an evidence base for it. So, as I said, the answer would be no at the moment for a child population.
So at the moment, you've talked about things that are controlling it. In the future, exactly, are they looking into ways that you could cure hay fever? Is that the hopeful end result?
Yeah. Where if I just go back a step, so I talked about these immunotherapies, these kind of lozenges that people take. And
yeah.
As I said, if you were a hay fever sufferer on mainland Europe, 80% of people would be on these therapies, immunotherapies. The uptake has been much slower in the UK and Ireland for a variety of reasons. These therapies have actually been around for many decades, but when they were initially initiated, they were given under the skin, so subcutaneously, and unfortunately some people had very poor outcomes. However, these newer therapies are oral. Basically, there's been no mortality. Obviously, some people do suffer side effects, but much more acceptable. And I think over time, we will see these products getting better, more dissemination of them. But as I said, they don't work for everyone. I think what's more exciting is the work now. Again, a lot of your listeners will have heard of the hygiene hypothesis. We're seeing a massive explosion in whether it's food allergies, whether it's air allergies, whether it's asthma. And the feeling is it's the way we are managing our children in the early years of life. So when I'm old, I'm not very old, but I was allowed to go out in the garden, get dirty, play in the sandpit. A lot of our children nowadays don't do that because, again, parents are worried about bugs, they're worried about hygiene, they're wiping down surfaces. So these children are never actually getting exposed to microbes, put it mildly, dirt. And your immune system basically has a number of functions, but if I could narrow it down to two, so if your immune system isn't or doesn't have to fight dirt because you're not being exposed to it, well, then those cells get channeled into allergic pathways. And there's a lot of good lab work, epidemiologic work, you know, to support this hypothesis. So basically the message is let your kids get down on the floor and get dirty, because if your immune system isn't being challenged to fight infections and bugs, well, it's going to go down into these allergic pathways. And I think that it's a very good model to explain why we're seeing a massive increase, whether it's hay fever, asthma, food allergies, by the way, all of which are connected. It's the same process.
Yeah.
So hay fever is the nose bit, the eye bit, the food allergy is the gut bit, the asthma is the lung bit. It's the same process, just manifesting in different tissues over time.
And just finally, David, because there's a few people getting involved on the text line of 53102, like this says, saying, I was tortured by hay fever during my teens and 20s, but since my late 30s, the hay fever has subsided significantly. I've heard that it's common for it to go away as you get older. Is there any evidence of this?
Yeah, and again, I'm an asthma sufferer myself and had hay fever. We used to holiday down in Wexford, lots of lovely green fields. I couldn't go out in those. I have no problem doing that now, and I never took these immunotherapies. So over time, my state has changed. I don't fully understand that. I don't take daily medication. So your text there is absolutely correct. So we do see improvements over time. So basically people develop tolerance to these pollens. Again, we see it in the food allergy world as well, for kids who are 1 minute milk allergic, the next minute they're not. So there is. So tolerance does develop, unfortunately, not in all people, but in many people.
Well, it's fascinating. Consult a paediatrician at the National Children's Hospital in Tala. Dr. David Coughlin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for your time, Graham. Thank you.
53102, there is an awful lot of hay fever sufferers in the world and loads coming in about honey, but someone has mentioned nettles. They boil up some nettles and take that, and they think that it helps them. 53102, if you've got hay fever and you think you've got something that might sort people out, you're with Today FM.
Dermot and Dave, Today FM.